This morning we looked at John 15. This evening we looked at John 15, not because I'm getting forgetful, but just because there's just too much in it to cover in one go. And we could spend weeks on it. It's just going to be this week. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop at three points in this passage. And just to pause, just to consider some very important lessons. Where we went this morning was this. This is the path that we took this morning. We looked at four main relationships that Jesus talks about. He talks about himself being the true vine. That's his relationship with Old Testament and the revelation of God. He is the one, the obedient Son of God that Israel never was but ought to have been. He is the true vine. Derek, sorry, could you move that on again, please? Just move it on four times, please. We looked not just at the relationship of Christ to Scripture, but also of Christ to the vine dresser. He says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. And that wonderful privilege we have as Christians of having not just the vine who supplies vitality and everything we need, but also the wisdom, the goodness of the vine dresser. Then we looked at the relationship of the vine to the branches. And that is the relationship that Jesus spends most time on, looking at the fruitfulness, the impossibility of fruitfulness outside the vine, the necessity of fruitfulness within the vine, the futility, the eternal futility that is a result, but also the abundance of the fruitfulness within the vine. And then lastly, we looked at the vine, the branches, and the fruit. And we quickly went through verses 9 through to 16 and stopped at verse 16. That's the appointing of the bearing fruit, that your fruit should remain, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you. That fruit was the commissioning, the result of the commissioning Jesus was giving his disciples. They would be given this, the blessing of the love of God passed through Christ, the joy of Christ. They were joining in that. The knowledge of God's revelation from the Father to the Son, from the Son to them. They were being given these blessings that they may be causers of fruitful branches in those that trust the Lord through their ministry. Tonight, I want to stop off at this section, cut off and cultivated. And here we're looking at verse 2. Cut off and cultivated. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Here Jesus is preparing us for two things. He's preparing us as observers of the lives of others for defection. Okay? There's been a lot of use of the word defection in news recently, isn't there? People moving from one political party to another political party, often at key times. Defection. People swapping sides. Well, Jesus is marking the fact that people who are close and seemingly in the vine, they're not in the vine. And as Judas has left them, possibly in the last hour, he's acknowledging that while people defect, the vine dresser cuts and discards. In other words, while it may be a surprise to us when people who seem to be believers walk away, it is no surprise to the vine dresser. He knows. Now, you know and I know that people walk away and the Lord restores. But what we're talking about here is people who walk away and seemingly give no evidence at all of coming back to the Lord. That was true of Judas. And he's preparing us as observers of other people's behavior that this can happen. At university, a friend turned his back on the faith that we shared. And one of our friends was shaken to the core that this particular lad could walk away from Christ, shaken to the core. Now, it should upset us. It should concern us, and it should drive us to our knees when our loved ones walk away from the faith. But there's a sense in which it shouldn't surprise us, because Christ has allowed for that possibility here. Do you see? He's preparing us as observers of other people for defection. That's not a nice topic to preach about or to think about. But in the context of the vine and the vine dresser, Christ is saying that all these things are within their gaze, within their knowledge, and there's no surprise. But it's not just defection he's preparing us for. It's also, as we walk the Christian life, he's preparing us for the experience of pain. Do you like the thought of being a branch and being pruned? It's not a particularly attractive image, is it? And we looked last week that there is pain in this world because it is a broken world. It's a broken world, so there's pain. But we looked last week, if you remember, it's not just that it's a broken world, it's also it's an opposing world. And therefore there is pain to Christians as they follow Christ. The world does not like allegiance to Christ in the same way as it hated Christ. And so because it's an opposing world, there is pain to the believer. Because you have a vine dresser, there may be pain of pruning. And in Hebrews, that pain is pictured in another way. It is the fatherly discipline to children who are loved deeply. Okay? That's the confidence we have to have in God as He prunes the branches of those who are fruitful, that we may become more fruitful. So He's preparing us for defection as we watch others. It's also a warning to ourselves. He's preparing us for the experience of pain. But that pain is in a vine dresser's wisdom. It's in a father's disciplining care. He knows what He's doing with you, Christian. The cut off and the cultivated. It could be, as you read those words, that there is fear in your heart. What if? What if I'm a branch that is cut off, not just cut down? Well, if, as that passage was read, if you were here this morning and the blessings that Christ gives, the life that He endures, the blessing that comes from the Father, the purpose of making Him known, if as those things were walked through and talked through, and you, in your heart you wanted them, you wanted the pruning of the Father, you wanted the imbibing or the abiding with the vine, you wanted the serving, the obedience through love of God, if you wanted those things, friends, verse 5 tells us that you can do nothing without Christ. You can't raise a hopeful thought. You can't raise a submissive thought to God or a desiring thought to follow in that way without Him. If those thoughts are in your heart and mind at all, it's evidence, not that you're cut off and ought to be fearful, but it's evidence that you are a branch, and the life and the wisdom of Jesus Christ is flowing in by His Spirit to your heart and mind. And I would urge you to ask God to continue to do work in your heart and mind, to continue to teach you, to continue to cause you to bear fruit. We are safe because of Christ, not because of our efforts. And Christ wants His followers to know that they are clean because they receive His Word. If that is an appetite you have that is not natural, that is supernatural, and that is evidence that you are in the vine as a branch. cut off and cultivated, prepared for defection, prepared for the pain of pruning. Let's move on to the next one. Next place I want to stop there. Could you move on again, please? Sorry. And the next one we'll stop at is this word, verse 4. Abide in me. It's a word that's repeated again and again and again throughout this section. I want to be as practical as I can on this. Do you see in verse 7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." I want you to see, Christian, that this abiding is a mental abiding. Spiritual in nature, but it is mental, okay? It requires effort of the mind. The reason why I say that is the word for words in verse 7 is about particular commands, particular instructions that Jesus Christ gives, okay? And what Jesus is saying here is, as those words are abiding in you, then you remain in me. Okay, so there's this mental taking on of the teaching, the instructions, the warnings, the commands, the promises of Jesus Christ. There's this imbibing, this mental effort required that we may take and receive as evidence that we are in the vine as branches. What does that look like? What does that look like? Let me give you just some examples. Someone's concerned for the future. There are big question marks, not just over the next few years, but over the next few weeks. They're concerned for themselves and the loved ones who depend upon them. Fret, worry, and anxiety are just around the corner. And then this believer remembers what Christ has said about their Heavenly Father. Christ has said, "My Father clothes the flowers of the fields. He feeds the birds of the air. He counts the hairs on your head." It's a loving action to the most intricate of detail of life. You're much more valuable, Jesus says, than the birds, than the flowers. And if he clothes and feeds them, will he not much more feed you? To someone who is anxious or fretful or fearful about the future, Christ's word abiding in us puts the brakes on the fret, puts the brakes on the anxiety, and allows a believer to say, "I trust you." Not by accident, but "I trust you with what's ahead." That's one example of Christ's word abiding in us. Let me give you another one. The reality of a sin committed, whatever it may be, words, actions, attitude, cut the person to the heart. They're shocked that they would ever think that. They're amazed that that has ever come up. They thought they were doing well, and they're horrified and shocked. If we confess our sins, he is just, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we hear conscience accuse rightly, and when we fear that we have walked away from God so far that we can't go back, what do? We take Christ's words through his apostle. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see? The words of Christ abide and remain, and they change our course They change what we think. They change how we respond, whether it's to anxiety or to sin. Two examples of the words of Christ abiding in us. Do you see? Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, this mental apprehension of the truths revealed in Christ, taking on the promises, the warnings, the encouragements of Christ. It's not just a mental abiding, it's also a mutual abiding. You will ask what you desire and it should be done for you. When we want what God wants, as revealed in John 15, when we want to be fruitful, when we want the love, the joy, the obedience that we see in Christ, when we want those things and we pray in that vein, the Father is delighted to answer that prayer. This abiding is mental and it's mutual. We benefit, don't we? And, verse 8, God is glorified. Your best, you benefit, glorifies God. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. You see? As you abide, you benefit, and the Father is glorified. Let me just push that a little bit. What has your relationship with God's word been like this week? The last month? The last 3 months? The last year? Has it been what you wanted to be? I know many of you know the Bible. I know many of you know the books well, parts, favourite parts. You can quote large sections, some of you. You can quote famous, well-known verses, many of you. But Jesus doesn't mention any of that. He doesn't say if you can quote. He doesn't say if you can remember. He doesn't say if you've read. If my words abide in you. That's very different. Very different. I remember a man who knew much sorrow once saying that one line of scripture kept him going for weeks. That's abiding. God's word keeping you going. That's God's word abiding in you. Okay? You know that you can read 1 month to the next the same portion of the Bible, the same chapter, or even just the same few verses, and a month later, it means something fresh. Don't you? You know that. And yet, somehow, despite that knowledge, as Christians, we can be tempted to complacency. Can I urge you? Jesus talks about his words abiding in us. That sounds close. That sounds intimate. That sounds special. And it should be. So can I give you a pastoral nudge? If your relationship with God's words and Christ's words has not been exactly abiding, come on. You know you need Christ. You know you need to hear what he says. You know you need to be reformed and transformed. You know your mind needs to be renewed by Christ's word. You know that. Come on then. as you turn to God's word, perhaps tonight as you go home before the head hits the pillow, perhaps tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, whenever next you open God's words, open it like a desperate branch that knows it cannot be disconnected from the vine. And that this wonderful gift of God's written word is taken by His Spirit and is used by Him to freshen us, to equip us, to assure us of promises and love, to correct us and rebuke us. Christian, the word is abide. Christ's words abiding in you. Not a previous knowledge, an abiding. Cut off and cultivated. Abiding. And lastly, fruitful. This is, there you go. Okay, thank you. Fruitful. The passage is covered in fruit. The vine dresser's intention and desire to have fruit in your life is staring us in the face. This morning I spoke to you and suggested that the fruit was the result of the witness to Christ because of His love, His joy, the knowledge that He shared with us, taking us from servants to friends. The fruit of that being shared with others. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. These are commissioning words, sending out words. Go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. I'm going to show you a quote that I came across this week that challenged me. This union is the union we have with Christ. It is a unique union, but by its very nature, it is a union, it's an intimacy, which by the necessity of its own constitution, seeks to bring others into its orb. Now, I wouldn't choose to express it like that, but when I read that, that hit me between the eyes. We can stop short of where Christ goes to in verse 16. I said this morning the church can shrivel and look in on itself. We can, as Christians, love the love of God. We, as Christians, we can enjoy the joy of Christ. As Christians, we can treasure the knowledge that the Father has given to the Son, that the Son has given to us as His followers. And we can benefit from all that. But Jesus doesn't stop there, does He? He commissions that His fruit-bearing branches bear fruit as they go. Christian life can become something less than what it ought to be. The Christian life can become something less than it ought to be. This quote points to the fact that actually this enjoyment of God, the love, the joy, the knowledge, the intimacy that we have is never just for ourselves. It's always supposed to turn us outward to others. It is that way for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Loving, complete joy between the three of them. From all eternity, complete. They're completely self-sufficient, self-existent. They don't need anybody. God is perfect. And yet that joy and that love looks out into creation and into redemption. And so it should be with us. Those who are brought into God, partakers of the divine nature, brought into God, enjoy so much of who God is and what He has done. We are to be turned out and look to others. And as I was reflecting on this this week, a few comments made by men that I have reason to look up to came to mind. There's one man called Ray Evans. He's been in the church in the past. He's preached from this pulpit. He's spoken to us across the road. He said something that stayed with me. He said, people will pray for the growth of the church, but they don't really want it. And what he meant by that was, because growth brings change, and change means things don't stay the same, actually we don't like that. When we're shriveling up and looking in. Does that make sense? Ray Evans trains men for the ministry, and he tells them that. He says, your people will pray for growth, but they don't really want it because they're not prepared for the pain that change brings. I'm sharing that with you because I see that in my own heart. And I suspect it's in our hearts. But here, God is blessing his people through the vine Christ and the vine dresser, the Father, that fruit would be born. Another comment, Roger Ninnis. Roger's been supported by the church over many years. He came back here a few months ago. And just in his report in the work, he simply said this, you can't have growth without change. You can't have growth without change. Question. In our desire for the church to grow, are we prepared for the pain of change? That's a really important question. If we're not, I think we need to stay on verse 16. And we need to ask the Lord who has saved us and has shepherded us. We need to ask him for the grace to embrace his plan to bear fruit beyond us. Cut off and cultivated, abiding and fruitful. Christian. Jesus Christ, the vine. And the vine dresser, they have a plan. The plan is for you to be blessed beyond imagination with his love, his joy, the knowledge of what he wants to do, and to be used by the King in the spread of the kingdom. How about that? In the picture of the vine and the branches, some are close but not connected. Jesus says that there are branches that are cut away. They appear to be connected, but actually the vine dresser sees them as not connected to the vine at all. Some here may well be close to the vine, but not connected to Christ. Is that you? Folks, that's a really important question. Is that you? And do you want to stay as you are? Because what Christ is doing as he lays before us this picture of the vine and the branches is he's telling the disciples that they're in the right place. You don't need to go anywhere else. I am the true vine. But he's also exposing those who are disconnected. If you're not connected to me, there is a cutting away, and there is, in the words of verse 6, the image of destruction. Christ invites, as well as warns, he invites all to come to him. The vine wants branches to be fruitful. if you consider yourself to be outside looking in on this image, not sure if you're connected as a branch to the vine, do you want to remain like that? Or do you want to be taken by Christ and owned by Him? He is a merciful Saviour and will take any who come. Here's the next question. Abiding in Christ requires the receiving of Christ's words. We spent some time on that. This mental apprehension of the promises, warnings and instructions of Christ. How can your relationship with Christ's words be strengthened? How can your relationship with Christ's words be strengthened? Is it a matter of reading less? Does that surprise you? Not often the pastor says that. Is it a matter of reading less and thinking more? It could be. Is it a matter of reading more regularly? Maybe once a day. Maybe if you have time, twice a day, three times a day. Some people read with every meal. Abiding in Christ requires the receiving of Christ's words. How can your relationship with Christ's words be strengthened? Can I just say on that one, something I've not touched on, is talking to others about God's word. It's a massive help. Massive help. Maybe there's someone in the church that you know, you meet up once a month and talk about verses, passages, topics. That's worthy. Some are connected by faith to Christ. Do you see your privilege? Do you see what Christ has done? And do you understand the plan of fruit bearing? This outward looking consequence of the love that is bestowed upon us. This outward looking of the joy that we're share with Christ. This outward looking of the plan that Christ shares with the once servants, now friends. Do you see the plan that God has? It's not to be inward looking, but to be outward looking, longing for fruit that honours Christ. I'm going to leave those up and I'm just going to pray and then we'll sing. Father in heaven, we praise you for that wonderful picture of a vine with a vine dresser and branches. We praise you for your mercy, that people like us can be brought into a union with Christ that is cared for by you and provided by him. We pray that we would know the deep privilege and that we would not be slow in taking advantage of all that you have accomplished. Forgive us. Renew us. Refresh us. And redirect us, we pray. Amen.